Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AsthmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now...
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
It's 281. I'm Chris.
I'm Aaron. I don't know if I want to get high, but I feel like I need to.
What's that?
I'm already really high. Like, if you and I were just hanging out, and you were like, you want to smoke another joint, I'd probably say... I think I'm just going to stare at this TV for another half hour. But since this is the Weedsmen.
We're the Weedsmen.
This is go big or go home, right?
Yeah. Like,
so just go ahead, listeners, and bump us up to 1.5 speed.
Right.
Because I have a feeling we're about to smoke this another joint here, and I think things are going to start slowing down.
See, Netflix is
going
to start doing it, and now the producers and directors are all pissed.
That's basically saying that 90% of our content is just garbage that you play in the background. There's plenty of people that make jokes about this on Twitter before any of this 1.5 speed on Twitter came out. People were referring to Twitter or referring to Netflix as what they have in the background while they do other things, you know. Netflix is I like watching this on Netflix while I'm on my phone, not paying attention. So they're kind of admitting that it's background noise, but also there's certain things that people want to watch because somebody else is going to talk about them. Like everyone's watching some baking show or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says, oh, I can't believe that Cynthia, you know, totally fucked up her souffle at the end, you want to know what they're referring to. But you really can't be bothered to watch 45 minutes of people actually baking cakes.
But people do it with podcasts. I don't. But like, what? I guess I don't see what the big deal is.
I don't see what the big deal is either way, but I think it's kind of a strange thing to do. Here's the thing. It depends on how you take in information and how much information you need to take in. For example, my sister is legally blind. And... she has, she's leaned on audio technology for most of her information intake. She's used to, she has an app that reads stuff off of her phone, right? Or I think it's actually built into Apple now, but it used to be something that you would have to add on to the smartphones that would actually read it properly for you and not just do the computer voice like this.
Yeah. Not talking to the speak and spell.
Something that you could actually adjust to your needs. And if you think about how most of the content that we read online, how we actually read it, we don't go, okay, let me get my tea and bring up this web page here, start at the top, settle in. No, we we look at it, we scan it for details, we decide if we want to actually invest in reading this whole article or if we can get enough from a headline and reading the first two paragraphs. And think about, you know, transferring that to audio content. If you have to have all your news read to you by a device, mm-hmm. you're like, come on, let's get to the good part, right? So not only are you fast-forwarding to it, but if you listen to... She usually has an earpiece in when she's mm-hmm. using her phone because, you know, she's constantly... She doesn't look at it. She's using a smartphone. She's getting on the internet. She's doing all the same shit that any of us would do with our smartphones. Mm-hmm. She's just doing it with voice commands and, you know, a few buttons that are left on the actual phones. So if you took her earbud out and stuck it in your ear, you'd hear...
So that's four?
It just sounds like gibberish. But she's so used to, in the same way that we're used to scanning a page and looking for... Because a book is, as much as it seems like outdated technology, like, yeah, what are books for? If you want to store and retrieve information in a very concise way that is...
Gross, it has buttons.
That's almost invulnerable to corruption and is extremely portable, doesn't rely on technology of any sort. I mean, the book is it. Even if you're talking about, you know, having a large tome of referencing things. Well, for example,
your tome of referencing.
Yes. Like role playing stuff. You know, my son is into role playing, and I'm like, you can probably do all this shit online now. There's no need to write shit down on paper, and
he's probably like, why?
And get books and all that, and he's like, nah, it's still easier working with the books. It's especially if you're a little bit familiar with the material already, it's much quicker to just go, oh, I know it's around here in this book, flip to it, scan pages, look and find exactly what you need quicker than you could pull up a website and type in a search and try and narrow down the results.
They still have their character sheets?
Yep.
Oh, man. It's been a while since I've thrown a 20-sided die.
I'm really getting off on tangents, but as far as consuming podcasts on any speed other than the original intended, I've never seen the need for that. But then again, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah, some of them are kind of background noise, but most of them I'm actually actively interested in what they are saying.
Same here.
And I will get to the point in a day. If I have a day where I have a lot of time where I can listen to podcasts, I'll run out. I'll have to go down to like the B and C tier podcast of like, all right, you know, I'll get back into, like, I'm not an every week Marc Maron listener,
mm-hmm.
but I'll save a few like, oh, that looks like an interesting one. And I'll hit that one up on a day where I've burnt through all my regulars.
See, it's fantasy football season. No shortage of podcasts for me right now.
Right.
Now, in January, my podcast usage frees up.
Where, yeah, I mean, if there are more podcasts than you can listen to in the hours that you're awake, and you want to hear all that or whatever, yeah, so they crank up the speed on it, and they can get through it faster.
Hopefully you've done that, because this is good weed. That's a long-ass tangent. About it was, Netflix.
Yes. Shit, there's something else. There's two branches on that, and I forget. I lost the other one anyway.
Caught on fire. Went up in a puff of smoke.
Like, if I was into following reality shows, I'd want to crank that shit up to at least 1.5. I mean, first of all the repetitive editing that goes into that. They have a scene where... You know, and something went down between two people, and like most things that go down between two people in real life, it's less than 30 seconds. It was a thing, people said some shit, then they walked away and moved on. There might be more to the story there, but the actual thing that you can, the conflict itself that you capture is brief and fleeting.
Yes.
So there's a lot of editing parts of that in and editing in the same kind, and then doing like the same, they back their way out of it into the commercial and then go right back into it They reload you with all that backstory coming out of the commercial again. It's not just the idea of watching weird people whose only thing is they want to be on TV that turns me off about reality shows. It's the real crime is the pacing. The pacing and editing of reality shows is just like...
There's a lot of this going on.
It's manipulative to the point where you just feel like a baby being spoon-fed.
There's a lot...
You take forever to say nothing.
There's a lot of that going on reality shows.
Yes.
It just took you 10 minutes to say something I could have told a regular human in 30 seconds.
Who's Homer talking to that scene? Ricky Gervais? Who's that supposed to be?
Listen up, Stonehenge. I made a drawing of the places on Mars you can't touch. Especially the hair.
Oh, you needn't worry. I'm a bit of an elbow man myself.
Yeah, it is.
Bit different. Bit weird. Not sexual.
You take forever to say nothing.
But Americans really don't like Ricky Gervais that much, do they?
I like him in doses. He has his moments. Mandy's a huge fan of The British Office. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, that was a thing, like, where the pacing just didn't work for me.
Well, dude, like, while it is almost a shot-for-shot remake, some of the jokes are different.
Oh, I think just that first episode, right?
Yeah.
They basically redid the pilot, just did an American version of it. Well, it's November, Thanksgiving's coming up. And for some, a Thanksgiving tradition would be all gathering around to watch the Thanksgiving episode of Friends.
What? That's a thing?
Well, it's a very popular episode.
It is.
Have you seen it?
No.
You're not familiar with the Thanksgiving episode of Friends?
No.
Friends is a show that at the time that it was out, most of it I didn't watch in real time. I think I caught on a little bit late, but I did watch every episode of Friends. And it was one of those things where you come home from work and just zone out in front of the TV on some decent garbage with beautiful looking people in it. And there's worse ways
to... You think you know someone.
There's worse ways to poison your brain. But I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it either. I wasn't like...
Podcasting together for half a decade.
I wasn't... That I was a Friends fan?
Yeah. This comes out.
I freak my kids out about it.
Currently like, is your jam.
My kids know Friends now because that's one of the 90s shows that are coming back into fashion. And so they make Friends references and I'm like, dude, you can't even step to me. Like... I know the shit inside and out. So, yeah.
The only thing I know about Friends really is I know that's where but How You Doing came from.
So you didn't watch any Friends?
Fuck no.
Yeah. See, while I should have been watching Seinfeld, I was watching Friends.
That's me and my friends thought of Friends. It was out.
Yeah. I was the same way. And then I had a friend that introduced me to the show. I came over to his
friend
place.
Friend had a vagina, didn't she?
I think maybe we found this out when we moved in together, and I came home and he was watching Friends, and I'm like, wait, you do this on purpose?
This is a male?
And he's like, hey, you've never seen this show?
It's a heterosexual male?
Bro!
I think once you get into the rhythm of it, I don't know why that's everything with me today. Everything has a rhythm. But everything does have a rhythm. Damn it. That's part of what it's about. Like, there's entertainment that makes you think, and there's entertainment that just you're used to the rhythm of it. I think this is why so many podcasts are popular that people would have never have thought to give the opportunity to. Like, I don't know, even the big ones like Joe Rogan. If back in the 90s, Joe Rogan was like, just give me a show where I talk and nobody interrupts me for 3 hours.
And I smoke a whole bunch of weed.
And I don't tell anyone the weather.
Yeah.
And I don't give the fucking trap. And they're like, that's outrageous. No, we can't do that. That's not marketable. And clearly it's marketable. Joe Rogan's doing all right, right?
Yeah.
It's plenty marketable. And a lot of people want to hear it. So, yeah, anyway, Friends, it's a rhythm thing. You know, you get used to the characters. And it's not like they're like... all the jokes are based on the character, and you see them all coming, like, oh, Monica's gonna be mad because the couch is out of place, you know, and Joey's gonna be hungry because he's Joey, and look at that, he came in with the fork! I told you! Look at that! Joey's Joeying right there. It's a comfort thing. It's a comfort show.
Yeah, I was Seinfelding while this was on.
If you Google the Friends cast right now, they'll have the, you know, the cards for them, right? So start with Ross.
What about him? David Schwimmer, American actor.
Now, try this. Google Ross Geller.
Now what?
Click on the couch, and your browser just tilted. Click on it again. It'll tilt the other way. It goes back the other way. It pivots. And now one more time, and it'll break in half.
And
that was the joke. That was the Friends episode. There's an episode where Ross is trying to get a couch up a stairs, and it got stuck. And he basically had to live around this couch for a while before it eventually just got sawed in half to be removed. And that was the line. That is the Ross line. Pivot! Yes. And hilarity ensued. And see, that's the thing. Like, there isn't a joke there. These characters are clowns.
No, I know. Everyone's got, trust me, everyone's got their 90s sitcom shame.
Well, no, it's not shame.
Mine was like the Drew Carey show.
I know this sounds like I'm trying to explain bad behavior, but I'm really not. I'm just trying to differentiate. So, on Seinfeld, that's brilliant writing, right? You have some comedic geniuses. Nobody can argue that are working on this show.
Correct.
Some great actors. And these are, a lot of these, even though it was billed as a show about nothing, these are all solid jokes that you could tell somebody, oh, I saw this thing on Seinfeld, and you could explain it to somebody, and they'd be like, that's hilarious. I've never thought about it that way before, you know? There's some insight there. It's a clever joke. It translates. Like a good song, it translates to other things. Friends is purely based around characters, and the characters are all sexy clowns. They're all goofy clowns that are very attractive to look at. And so people watch them, and they, you know, they are consistent in their behavior.
Courtney Cox is like a scarecrow.
Chandler is, you know, consistently neurotic and sarcastic. Joey is consistently horny and hungry. So there are very few jokes in
Chandler.
There are very few jokes on Friends. You know, it's all based on character, and that's why it works for me. But you have to get into it. You have to watch a few episodes and figure out what to expect from these characters. It's not deep or anything. I'm not saying it's like, oh, you have to really invest something in Friends. No, you don't have to.
So is this Thanksgiving episode where the term Friendsgiving came from?
Do we have Friendsgiving?
That is a thing now. Yes. I mean,
I don't Google think so, because that's more about finding your own family, right? That's more about people who don't, for whatever reason, maybe they live out of state, they don't get to go home for or see their family, maybe they don't have any family, maybe their family are not talking to them, or vice versa. For whatever reason, there's a number of reasons why people spend their Thanksgivings with friends.
Because maybe their family sucks.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of Friendsgivings this year.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they're about to with the timing of impeachment. Yeah, the holidays are going to be super awesome this year for a lot of people. You know,
yeah.
To be good, the old man's going to be gone this year. It'll have been fun holiday times this year.
The Friends episode of Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving episode of Friends, I think it's definitely one of the better, it tells an actual story. Instead of just, here's a scenario. You know, most of Friends is, we got to put them in a situation where they can, you know, act out their hijinks. And it's nice. It's a heartfelt episode. It's a feel good. It's a bit of a tearjerker.
Is there a baby born?
No. No, they play a game of football. Yes, exactly.
Why is there a pause at the end?
Although, apparently, if you want to watch, this would be the 25th anniversary of the Friends Thanksgiving episode. And if you want to watch it again with your friends, you can do so in the theaters.
Why?
Why?
Because commerce?
Because on September 25th, they had an anniversary screening of 12 episodes in the theaters that grossed $2.9 million from more than 1,600 theaters. No,
why? Because we'll go watch. That's why.
Yep. Well, because there's new fans too. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's my kids are into this. They weren't alive at the time that the show was on and being talked about by everyone. They didn't get to share that experience in that way. So, and that's a lot of what these huge like Marvel and DC movies that everyone goes to see. Sure, a lot of this is about they want to see this movie. They want to support it. They're into the characters. They're into whatever. But the reason that they have these huge opening weekends is because, like, not everyone gets to go to a Comic-Con and enjoy an experience like that. So this is, like, the next best thing. You go opening weekend to one of these, and you know that everybody's going to be out, and you're going to see all the nerds, and there might be some people dressed up, and it's a shared experience. And I think that's what, you know, all this bitching about superhero movies, how this industry is out of control. There's too many of them. They're taking over. They're sucking up all the money and the attention and the air in the room.
So it's making the money.
Right, but they're offering that type of shared experience. I mean,
is it the biggest movie ever now a superhero movie?
Yeah. I mean, look, Tarantino and Scorsese films still do all right. They do great in the box because people still want to go and see the movie and talk about it and share that.
They're going to clean up at the Oscars this year.
But most of your movies aren't that, and they're just not going to be. The things that we want to consider, because the way that we consume media is so global, it's like, I don't know. Not everything is going to be, I don't know where I'm going with this. This is a dead end.
Weed. Also, I'm very high right now.
What am I trying to say with this? Yeah, not every movie needs to be that big shared experience. I don't know.
Star Wars hopes it is. Disney's banking on you. This Christmas, everyone have the same shared experience.
Star Wars has that built in already, before Disney ever touched it. Friends has a lot of new fans, plus just the nostalgia. I mean, nobody ever went broke betting on nostalgia.
Oh, God. That's what we do now. There's no more new ideas. We just reboot everything. We are creatively bankrupt.
The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
ChristopherMedia.net.
The Weedsman Podcast.
Well, how do you feel about the Rage Against the Machine
is
getting
Zach
back together?
De La Rose, Zach must be finally out of money.
The story in Vulture says that they put the Prophets of Rage project on hold. To get back to this, frontman Zach De La Rocha has reportedly been working on his solo career since the last time R.A.T.M.
Radom.
Radom reunited for Coachella in 2007. But he hasn't released anything since then, has he? There hasn't been a solo.
I was going to say, they did this before, right? For a couple shows? My thing, is there going to be a new album? I don't give a like, at this point, let's be honest. You're up there playing your classic rock band. You're up there playing your 25-year-old music.
That's a good point. We shouldn't even refer to it as a reunion unless you're producing new material. If it's a reunion to get... If it's a coming back together to tour on the songs that we used to play, that's fine. I'll go see it. I went and saw that with the Pixies, you know? Before they did reunite and make new music, but before they even had a new album to release, they started touring, and I went out and saw them because I never had the opportunity to go see them back in the day, and they were great.
That's probably why I would go see this.
But I wouldn't really refer to that as a reunion until they actually put out that new album.
Although, the show to see is when it's gone, it's missed. When they were at Kobo, it was Rage and Wu-Tang. Come on now.
Oh, shit, really?
That would have been the
Rage
show
and Wu-Tang at Kobo?
Yeah, Mikey B went to that show.
Were there?
Somebody died at that show. Somebody fell.
God damn it.
Somebody fell.
Wait, they could be. I was about to ask if there were fights. I was like, what?
No, somebody fell from the upper bowl to the lower bowl.
Oh, really?
They jumped and they died.
What the fuck?
It was that height. They jumped from the upper bowl to the lower bowl. And
were they expecting people to catch them?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
But it was Rage and Wu-Tang. That was the show.
But was the audience copacetic with each other?
Oh yeah, it was just that.
It was just one big party.
Like he didn't get beat to death.
No. I know that, but I'm just like, this is so awesome. Aside from the guy who died.
It's like, this is so awesome.
You're right. I think in general, though, you describe the vibe in the building as harmonic.
Oh yeah, Mikey B was there. He said it was awesome.
That would be a show to see.
What are the deets on this reunion?
Let's see. Upcoming Coachella dates in April next year, of course. But yeah, other than that, they will reunite to headline next year's Coachella festival. So Vulture is describing it as a reuniting to do the festival. I don't know if there's other intents beyond that or if that's
I want a new album. Give us new music. Otherwise you're just your REO Speedwagon at the county fair.
Well, look, they're allowed to make money, right?
It's true.
You know, they should be able to cash out on their you know, product that they made. I just don't. There's this idea that, like, you know, oh, this is the right time. You know, we need this. We need a voice like this. We need music again.
Tom
right?
Morello needs to sell more records right now. That's what you're saying,
right? The popular music is so devoid of like meaningful. Like artists aren't allowed to talk about politics anymore because they just get shouted down by half their audience. But I don't know. Nothing's going to change here. Like, people will interpret this music however they want to. And that was part of I think that Rage Against the Machine, when they came out, they were doing something very unique. They had a very specific sound. It really just sounded like Helmet playing the Beastie Boys when I first heard it. And I know it goes a little bit deeper than that, but that's the gist. They weren't doing something so groundbreaking that there wasn't.
My initial view was they were like the Beastie Boys who could play.
Yeah. That's fair, too. But they're definitely leaning heavier than Beastie Boys have in the instruments department, the guitarist department.
Well, yeah, like the Beasties with chops.
Yeah. Which, you know, to their credit, they eventually worked out the chops. They got decent. They got decent.
Yeah,
all right.
Decent's being generous.
Okay.
They got can we settle on competent? They got competent on their instruments.
It didn't really stick for me. You know, I didn't remain a long-term fan of this band. And part of it was just like, well, I don't see them doing anything different. It's not interesting beyond that. It was kind of, I guess for me, it just was a gimmick. And then all the people that really attached themselves to this band were assholes. And it's not just a black and white thing of like, oh, I guess that's not my band. You know, oh, they're popular now. I can't like them anymore. It's not that. It's, you know, I just...
They unfortunately got swept up in the Korn Limp Bizkit wave.
Yeah. And I think they got kind of drowned out of that. I mean,
yeah.
Because what they were doing has a certain attitude to it. A definite attitude to it. There's a very, to use the parlance of the time, in-your-face attitude about this music. And I think that it's appropriately
backwards
so.
Backwards hat wearing.
Well, but yeah, but also...
Pants sagging.
Yes.
Camo wearing.
This is what it was associated with, but if we were to talk about the attitude of the actual band...
Yeah.
That was, you know, an attitude of like, this is something that you need to know. This is, you know, this is intended to be a wake-up call for people.
Yeah.
You know? And... Again, people only get what they want to out of it. So all they just get the attitude and, you know, a couple snippets here of fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, and they're like, yeah, that's my ethos. You know? And they never dig any deeper, and they never wonder why he's talking about anything, you know, in Myanmar or Africa or right here in our own country, shit that goes down. They just like in one ear and out the other. So I don't know. Yeah, I think specifically, though...
They're really good at catching a groove. Got to give them that.
Yes. I think if we were to have an actual reunion that meant new music, I would be interested in that. I would want to hear that album way more than I would want to hear the new Tool album.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm curious about, okay, what are we saying on this album? This is a band that has a message. What's your message right now? I want to know. I'm curious.
I have zero interest in the new Tool album. And 20 years ago, I was a huge fan of Tool. Man, there's no way toward that.
Tool went the same way for me, the exact same path. They had a something that specific that worked at that moment for me, and I was really into that album, that first album, the full length. And the EP. And then my taste evolved beyond that. I started looking for other things. I started getting into, not saying that I put aside the guitars and drums, but I started getting into electronic music. Started being curious about jazz, about classical, about blues music, about country, about everything. And the artists that I continue to listen to throughout their careers are always the ones that have grown. Somebody like a Sonic Youth or a Stereo Lab or a Yola Tango, where you see this progression as artists. And I don't, and if you don't have that progression, if you, to me, it just sounds like the first Rage album sounds like the second Rage album, and the first Tool album sounds like this, or the second Tool album sounds like the first Tool album, and so on. And I just lose interest. But then you pair that, you marry that with a lot of assholes wearing the band t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people... I'm not judging based on, like, that guy, you know, doesn't drive the same kind of car as me or isn't into quote-unquote indie rock or something like that. And he shouldn't be wearing that. I'm talking about people actively in public acting like fucking morons and assholes and wearing Rage Against the Machine and Tool shirts, you know? This is observed behavior. Not judging based on... Oh, you're wearing that shirt and trying to attach yourself to that. You're actively seeing, like, you are a complete fucking asshole and you see something in this band. But that has an effect. I know it shouldn't, but that has an effect on me. I'm like, I don't need this, you know? I mean, If the guy's wearing a Sonic Youth shirt, then I'd be like, you don't. I'd be like the woman yelling at the cat. Like, you fucking take that shit off. You don't deserve that.
It all comes down to this.
But it's like, it's kind of like the friend. Like the friend of a friend who hangs out at your place and you're like, oh, he seems pretty cool. And we had a couple laughs.
Yeah.
And then he comes over by himself one time and you're like, oh, that was all right, you know. And then he brings a friend and his friend is a total piece of shit. And you're like, you know what? You're both out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. You know, he brings a friend over and that friend pukes on your fucking carpet and, you know, takes a shit on the big upper deck of your toilet.
And you're like, turn it up, bro.
Right. So it's not so much that, like, Rage Against the Machine was a total piece of shit. It's that they brought Limp Bizkit with them one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You guys are both assholes.
Yeah, take your red-headed friend and get the fuck out of here.
Right. Take your solo cups and get the fuck off my lawn.
Take your friend with his white hat and his gingham shirt. Get the fuck out of here.
All right. You know, I still feel really high. It didn't slow me down as much as I thought I did. It's pretty well balanced. Well, I imagine heavy on the THC strain. What is it that we're smoking?
Churning and burning. Wedding cake.
Hey, if I could interrupt real quick, how was your selection? I'm curious.
Oh, there's a ton of weed again.
Okay.
Yeah. So
The shelves are overflowing.
Yeah, it's
with
not like, hey, do you want this shake or that shake? Those days are done.
All right. So you had a real choice.
Yes.
Was this a recommendation from the bud tender, or did you?
Yeah,
pick
actually,
this out
yes.
Yourself?
He was like, here, try this. Put it in my face, and I went, yes.
Yeah. This I'll is why this. People trust your bud tenders. Those are the heads. They know.
Well, no, whenever
you're paying them for their opinion.
When I used to go out west to Washington and Oregon. Walk into those places. I'd ask them, what do you smoke? Professional stoner. Well, these professional stoners are smoking wedding cake, also known as pink cookies.
Ha! Gay!
It's the familial genetic cross of Girl Scout cookies and cherry pie. This delectable treat is rich with tangy sweet earth and pepper, taking notes and dimension from its OG and Durban poison parentage. Enjoy this double dose of dense darkness with care. As certain farms have noted. Oh, look at you. Extremely high THC content.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you hit that drop so well, I'm going to think that every time I hear this song.
I don't even
this is
read through all these effects and stuff now.
Right. Well, the
Leafly
top ones.
Redid it.
The top ones relaxed and happy.
Yeah. Right. Which is generally what you're looking for with weed.
And less than 2% are reporting as being paranoid.
Yes.
Not really strong numbers reporting on the dry mouth side either.
No, but I feel it on the dry mouth.
I'm feeling it a little bit, but I think overall this isn't one where I'm not going to have to edit out a combined 20 minutes worth of mouth noises out of this podcast like I do some other strains. I almost saved them up one time and just put them at the end. I've been tempted to do that. Just have
the ASMR freaks.
A bonus Patreon content that'll just be all coughs and stammers and mouth noises.
All of a sudden we're a huge hit in the ASMR community.
Yeah, that, you know, that is one that really divides people. It's not like like the vocal fry thing, that seems to have bugged everyone universally. You either were bothered by it or you didn't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth noises have gone the other way, where you are either completely disgusted by it or you're actually attracted to it.
Yeah, you're beaten off to it.
I don't know a lot of people that are neutral on the idea of mouth noises.
Yeah, no one's I go either way on mouth noises.
Take it or leave it.
The Weedsman Podcast.
ChristopherMedia.net.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
ChristopherMedia.net.
The Weedsman Podcast.
So on cannabis, now that it's fully legal in our state, what happens when you get pulled over and they smell weed on you? They can't do shit.
It's not probable. Right? Well, but they pull you over and they smell alcohol, they can be like, hey, why don't you breathe into this tube? They still might not be able to look through your car.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what you're smelling. If you're smelling unburned cannabis, then you would have to assume that the person is transporting cannabis of some amount, which would be legal unless it was an excessive amount, but that wouldn't be probable cause to search.
Just on the other side of the Ohio border.
If you're smelling burned, like somebody smoked a joint in the car, I think that probably still would be probable cause, but that would only be in the case of where we would have an actual test, a roadside test, preferably, because this is not, you could take them to the station and test, but that's not really feasible. They can't do that with everyone. That's actually why they, it's not true, but the cops will have you believe that if you refuse the roadside breathalyzer, they say, oh, if you can refuse the roadside breathalyzer, but then we're taking you to jail. It's what the actual truth of that is that they have to take you to the police station to do the breathalyzer.
Yeah.
And if you are, that doesn't automatically mean that you go to jail even if you are sober.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does tell the cop that you're probably not going to pass it because you're
rolling the dice that you can pass it by the time you get there.
Right. You're breathing really hard and like, I got to get trying to sweat the alcohol out of your system.
Trying to run in place while sitting on your ass.
But that's not a reasonable solution to stopping drunk driving. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have to do that for everyone, then you're never going to catch all the drunk drivers. You'll be constantly running people back and forth. So, yeah, anyway, what am I saying here? I imagine that they could possibly search your vehicle or give you some sort of maybe just a basic sobriety test, have you walk a straight line or something like that if they actually smelled burnt marijuana in your car. But I still don't think they're likely to. The state police here in Michigan, this is from a story in, this is out in West Michigan in the Kalamazoo area where you and I both have lived.
That reminds me, you have some mail upstairs.
Oh, do I?
From that area.
From Kalamazoo?
Yeah.
Is it from a court?
Yeah.
Okay. They talked to the state troopers out there. Many prosecutors have not made it clear on how law enforcement should handle each situation. So if you're underage, that's kind of easy. If you're under 21 and they smell pot, well, then they're going to search your car and they're probably going to confiscate your shit. Other than that, there's not much the police can do if people are using marijuana legally. So it sounds like, to me, they just talk about the smell of marijuana. They don't say burned or unburned.
Wasn't there another story that came out this week involving them too, saying stop calling the police on your neighbors if you smell weed?
Oh, yeah. Police actually have to post on their social media, like, please, look, you're going to smell weed. Stop calling us every time you smell it.
Yeah. People are smoking weed. They're allowed to. If it's in Michigan, if it's in one out of every five U.S. states, they're allowed to.
So if they actually get this roadside test for cannabis off the ground and actually running, then that might change all of this. Then they could smell cannabis and use that as probable cause to test you to see if you are yourself impaired.
Excuse me, sir, could you blow into the burrito?
Although they have brought these devices to market, but they don't have the corresponding legislation to incorporate them into police forces anywhere. I imagine that will be coming sometime down the line, but how long have we had these roadside breathalyzer tests for alcohol? Like, seems like forever.
Forever.
Right. And New York Times has a story this week. These machines can put you in jail. Don't trust them. Alcohol breath tests, a linchpin of the criminal justice system, are often unreliable, a Times investigation found. And I'm not going to get all into this because it's not the topic that we're talking about, but I think it's applicable in the way that if we're this far into this process of roadside tests for alcohol and they're still this unreliable, how is testing for THC going to be any more reliable? Also, we're talking about something like alcohol. There's a more direct one-to-one relationship. You have it on your breath, you're probably impaired in some way, right?
It's possible.
If you have THC in your system, that does not relate directly to one's impairment in a testable and reliable way.
That's true, because alcohol is good for a day. THC is good for 30.
A man had a bag of weed removed from his nose after 18 years.
How big was this bag?
The man thought he accidentally swallowed the bag when he smuggled it into prison in his right nostril. He had not.
Was he too good for his ass, like everybody else?
The first reported case of a prison-acquired marijuana-based rhinolith, also known as a nose stone. So it actually, like, turned into a stone in his nose. There's a name for that? During a prison visit, the patient's girlfriend supplied him with a small quantity of marijuana inside a rubber balloon, which was entitled Smith and his colleagues note in the report, which is entitled A Nose Out of Joint.
Ah.
Clever. I'll give him that one. Somebody who generally detests puns and headlines in general, and especially marijuana-themed ones, I'll give him a tip of the cap. Patient, is now 48 years old, slipped the package into his right nostril, was able to hide it from the guards. When he tried to retrieve it, he accidentally lodged it deeper into his nasal cavity, and and then assumed that he unknowingly swallowed it at some point.
God damn.
Developed into a gray calcified lesion measuring 19 by 11 millimeters. 19 by 11. It's over a half an inch long. It's almost an inch long.
Did it get high?
Rhinoliths are uncommon, but have been known to form around blood clots or foreign objects that have entered the nasal cavity, such as beads, cotton, or plant matter, or Homer's crayon. Actually, that crayon came out in remarkably good shape. That crayon was well preserved inside of his nose, even to the point where could put it back in. They get reinserted.
Oh, that's right. He had become an idiot again, and they put it back in.
He wanted his old life back. He sought treatment for painful headaches. A CT scan of his brain revealed the rubber capsule containing degenerate vegetable plant matter. Hey, just because it's cannabis doesn't mean that you need to call it degenerate. That's making assumptions.
You see, whenever I pick up an X-ray, I always hold it like this.
That's right. He always had his thumb over it.
Every time. I'll throw myself out.
Do you have any idea how this might have happened?
Well, I'm not sure, but it might have happened when I was 6.
Did he just start shoving cranes in it? Oh, yeah.
14.
So, this first instance of a marijuana-based rhinolith, the 21-year-old man who had a harder mixture of codeine and opium wrapped in a sheet of nylon removed from his nose.
Damn. Are these people at least getting high? Is it absorbing into the bloodstream?
I think it would eventually. Like the THC, I don't know if that would you would even notice. But if you had a wad of
codeine and
opium.
Yeah.
And that nylon deteriorated, I imagine you'd probably overdose, but I don't know.
Or have an awesome time.
Yeah, one of the two. Gotta walk that edge, you know, if you want to live on it.
Ride the snake.
You gotta ride the dragon or whatever. They're actually doing DNA testing for strains now, too.
What?
It's kind of brilliant. We talk about strains. Every week we talk about the strain that we smoke. Who even knows if it's actually that strain?
It's true. People could be making shit up.
Right.
And we don't even know.
who's to really say? But yeah, they have, there's a company called, what are they called?
420 and me. Oh, do you see what I did there?
They should have been called that. Let's see. Leafworks. Yeah, so there's a company called Leafworks. But yeah, that's basically what it is. You can send them, you know, a seed or leaf. I guess anything, really. It would have, any part of it would have DNA.
I'm sending this roach.
Well, no, you can't. I imagine they would probably be able to recover some DNA from that, though. That's, you know, you just clip off the burnt end. As long as you have a little bit of green in there. But yeah, probably best off on sending them non-burnt material. Head of nation's only federally legal marijuana farm develops THC eye drops.
That's a mouthful.
I don't really get it. Director of University of Mississippi's Marijuana Research Project discussed the history of how an eye doctor discovered that cannabis can relieve the intraocular pressure associated with glaucoma. Shit, we knew that since Friday. But while the THC in the plant treated the symptoms, it also meant patients experienced the high. Yeah, it's what we call a win-win.
Yeah, why, right?
Why is science always trying to take the fun out of shit?
Yeah, science, we know. We're trying to have awesome time over here.
So
keep our eyes healthy.
We're now developing a pharmaceutical product. We take the THC molecule, we modify it in certain ways to allow it to go inside the eye, and once inside, it breaks off and releases THC just in the eye to lower the pressure. You don't feel any physiological activity. It doesn't even get into your blood. It's all localized in the eye. We have this product now and is being licensed and developed as an eye drop. Well, but okay, so we joke about taking the fun out of it, but that actually is pretty cool. Because consider this, what if your glaucoma is maybe forcing you into an early retirement? You know, you do a job that you rely on your eyesight, as most of our jobs do. Rely on having competent eyesight. Not that, you know, people who are impaired can't do, you know, a lot of the same jobs, but if you're driving heavy machinery, let's say, or flying an airplane.
Yeah.
And
maybe the captain of a ship.
Right. So taking THC would be a good way to relieve the symptoms of glaucoma and possibly keep you employed, but it's not likely if that gets out that the way that you're treating your glaucoma is by staying high all the time, then they're probably going to fire you anyway.
Right? Yeah, right.
So what if you have a job where you can't be high all the time, but you need something to remove the glaucoma pressure to fix your eyesight? Well, this would be a wonder product for those people. So, yeah.
They can use this song.
Sure, it's no fun. And look, once it's available for those people who need it, then we can make the ones that still fuck you up, right? I can still get the party eye drops.
Yeah, the ones I bring to the party. Right. Yeah, I got two bottles, man. We're partying.
A gag gift on your friend. Man, I got to get home, but I don't want the cops to think I'm super stoned. My eyes are all red. You got eye drops? You're like,
hell yeah, I got eye
check
drops.
These sounds out.
It's all fun and games to get to bail your friend out of jail.
That's right. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun joke. I'm assuming your friend passed out, but he'd probably just get in the car and then get even higher and then fucking crash. So that's not cool. Don't do that. It just sounds ironic because it's one of those products that you usually use to relieve the auxiliary symptoms of cannabis use, the red eyes.
It's like, here, drink this drink. It'll make you thirstier.
Right. Right, if you're too drunk, have some coffee and put a little liquor in it.
Here, drink this hard coffee.
Right. That'll wake you up.
Yeah, it'll get your buzz going again. We're back to a win-win. At joint number three, he pulls a ripcord.
I don't know. Every time I start this song, it's got that Morgan part in it. I'm like, I took that out. That was never in the And I, for some reason, I can't get it to start playing without playing that part, and then I have to mute it. Anyway.
It's like you're jamming. It's like the organ player will not be silenced.
He's not even playing the same song.
Ah. Any hooser, it's time for us to go. It's where we remind you we are on Twitter at TheWeesman420, on Instagram at TheWeesmanPodcast. The email address is TheWeesmanPodcast@christophermedia.net. Thanks for all the reviews. New reviews have been showing up. Thanks. I believe we have a 5-star rating. My, if not, it's 4-point-something. It's over 4.5. I know that. But I saw a new review the other day. Thanks. Just leave a review. Leave a rating. That's how you let people know it's cool to listen to. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, the iHeartRadio app, Stitcher. Anywhere you get podcasts, we're there. ChristopherMedia.net as well. Check us out Tuesdays and Fridays. Stay high.
Stay high.
The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net. If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for listening, and thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.